This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. I got another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime stories for you this week, as we do every Wednesday here at RelicRadio.com. We'll hear first this time from Calling All Detectives, a story titled The Necktie, first aired December 28, 1948. That's followed up by The Man from Homicide and the Donald Shellbarger Murder, his episode from July 9, 1951.
Calling all detectives. When one hoodlum gave another a holiday necktie, it spelled out a pattern of murder. That is the situation on this page from my casebook, the casebook of Jerry Browning, private detective. The holiday season is a time for relaxation for everybody except a guy like me, Jerry Browning, private detective. It was a couple of days after Christmas, and the Lascaux department store was doing a big business in gift exchanges. I was at the hosiery counter explaining why size 9 socks were too small for me, when a couple of aisles over, two men at the neckwear counter began exchanging Sunday punches. I pushed my way through the crowd just as one of the contestants folded up and hit the rug. I grabbed the victor just in time to prevent him from kicking in the ribs of his fallen opponent. Shame on you, you big bully, slugging a little guy like that, and right in the middle of the holidays, too. The big man twisted my grip.
Let go of me before I knock your back teeth out. Oh, hello, Jerry. What's the good boy?
I relaxed my grip, took a good look at him. Hello, Muscles. When did you get paroled?
4 months ago. Excuse me a second, Jerry.
He bent over the small, fallen man, took a gun from his victim's pocket, transferred it to his own.
You have to excuse me, Jerry, but good-natured Eddie has got a nasty temper, as everybody knows. And if he wakes up with that rod in his pocket, he might get rash.
I picked up the little man, shook him to a semblance of consciousness. Muscles, and you too, good-natured, what's the big idea of staging a riot in a place like this? Good-natured gave me a glassy stare.
Why'd they hit me?
Muscles looked hurt.
Why did I hit him? Jerry, I buy, I don't steal, a classy $10 tie. A special, one-of-a-kind hand paint job. I give it to my pal, Casina Cassidy, season's greetings, except that Casina intercepts 6 slugs yesterday before he ever sports the tie. And today, I catch good-natured Eddie trying to exchange the tie I buy for Casina.
You mean good-natured Eddie has a necktie you gave a man who's been murdered? That was the point at which good-natured came out of his daze.
I can explain everything. I think the tie is too loud.
Doom up Browning, Jerry. Two hoodlums staged a fight in a department store. When one tried to exchange a necktie, the other had given a murdered gambler. I walked Muscles and good-natured down the street, keeping a firm grip on each one's arm. Good-natured muttered,
Jerry, if you will bunch your nose out of private business, I will cut Muscles' heart out.
Muscles tried to reach beyond me to strike at the little man's face.
Listen, you scrawny runt, soon as Jerry leaves, I'll twist your head around till you're looking the other way.
I yanked him over to a doorway. You two listen to me, you thick-headed apes. Casino Cassidy has been murdered. You, Muscles, gave him a holiday necktie, which makes you one of his friends, presumably. You, good-natured, have that necktie, which means you either murdered him or know the person who did. It seems to me that both of you are in kind of a tough spot. Muscles and good-natured exchanged glances. Then,
Jerry, leave us go have a drink against the cold and kind of talk this over.
Sitting in a booth at the Red Lion Bar, good-natured tried to explain.
The tie is too loud, Jerry. That's why I went to exchange it. I'm the conservative type. But I didn't get it off Casina. It was given to me by Dan Amore and Dave Willis, holiday greetings. I'm the good-natured kind, Jerry. I don't croak guys. A bullet in the shoulders as far as I go. And even then, I don't take their ties. Ask Dan Amore and Dave.
I pulled at the necktie that was dangling from good-natured's pocket. was a loud thing of horses and palm trees and, somehow, mermaids and ocean, obviously hand-painted. Muscles, are you sure this is the tie you gave Casino?
I ask you, Jerry. Could I be mistaken?
I took another look at the monstrosity. Oh, Muscles, you certainly couldn't. I think we'd better go see Denim or a Dave.
Let's pause right here. Calling All Detectives returns in a moment. And now let's rejoin Calling All Detectives, starring Paul Barnes, the man of a thousand voices.
Denim or a Dave was the bouncer at a big roller skating rink. When he saw us, he came skating across the floor, pausing long enough to pluck a young would-be acrobat along the way.
If you want to die, Sonny, die outside. Hello, Jerry, Muscles, good-natured. A merry yuletide, gents. What's the score?
Good-natured looked unhappy.
8-5, Denim or a, against you.
I held up the necktie. You gave this to Good Nature, Denimora, but before that, Muscles gave it to the late Casino Cassidy. Mind telling us how you got the tie? Denimora winced.
It was a happy holiday present from a friend. Only I personally favor bow ties, the kind with the elastic like I'm wearing. So I pass it on to my pal, Good Natured here.
Who gave it to you, Denimora? The bouncer hesitated.
Well, Casino was always a square guy. He shouldn't have been killed, so... Guzzler Grogan gave it to me. I thought it was kind of funny when he told me he was in too much of a hurry to get a box with it.
Muscles snorted.
I paid for the tie. I got a box with it.
Denimora nodded.
Maybe we should all go have a talk with Guzzler Grogan. It'll take all of us to do it.
It took hours, but we finally found Guzzler Grogan leaning against a lamppost near the entrance to a narrow, poorly lighted street. When he saw us, Guzzler stiffened, then relaxed as he recognized us.
The season's best, pals. Where's the convention?
Denimora didn't waste any time.
Guzzler, you give me a tie that I give Good Nature that he tries to exchange. Only before that, Muscles give the same tie to Casino Cassidy, who is now on a slab.
Leave me see the tie.
I held it up at a safe distance. Guzzler nodded gravely.
That's a tie, all right. A dilly, ain't it?
Guzzler, I know you're a hold-up man, but I didn't think you were a killer, too. Guzzler was indignant.
Anybody I knock off is strictly not on purpose. Venus Denimora is my pal. I don't mind telling. I take this tie off a guy I guzzled last night. A big skinny guy wearing a monkey-tail coat. He comes out of Casino's place last night at 2 a.m. Through a window. As he lands on the grass, there I am, and I grab him around the neck, and I guzzle him.
You mean you choked him?
That's what I said, didn't I? I got his wallet and his watch. He's got this tie in his pocket, see? And I figure that's just what I need for my good friend Denimora Dave. A merry holiday to you.
I shrugged, put the tie back into my pocket. Looks like the end of the trail, boys. Now we'll never find Casino's killer.
I don't know about that. Before I fling the wallet, I look inside. More time or all, they shot the second as a moniker. Though naturally, I won't say it in court.
A police squad picked up young Aldershot at his home. He was so surprised that he caved right in, admitted killing Casino in order to wipe out a gambling debt. As for the necktie, it had been flung in a drawer along with Aldershot's IOUs, and when Aldershot grabbed up the notes, he stuffed the tie into his pocket as well. In his panic, he never even realized he had it. Like I said, anything can become evidence. And sometimes even a necktie can turn into a noose around a killer's neck.
And that was Paul Barnes.
Stay tuned for The Man from Homicide, following a brief reminder. Henry J. Taylor, author, journalist, and ABC commentator, whose penetrating commentaries on world events is heard each Monday evening on ABC, is on a fact-finding tour of European countries. Periodically, Mr. Taylor takes trips abroad to get his own reaction to the feeling among the peoples of other nations about world conditions. On his current trip, he plans to visit 8 countries. Remember to listen a little later this evening to Henry J. Taylor, one of the nation's best-informed news authorities, broadcasting from London on ABC.
The Man from Homicide. According to Webster's Dictionary, homicide is the killing of one human being by another. According to Lieutenant Lou Dana,
it's the beginning of a dirty, dangerous job that doesn't end until the killer is found. I don't like killers.
Every week at this time, the American Broadcasting Company brings you transcribed the star of stage and screen, Dan Duryea, as Lieutenant Lou Dana, the man from Homicide.
You can get used to the dead. It takes time, but you can do it. You can get used to the men who've given up their lives suddenly to a knife, a piece of lead pipe, or a gun, or a broken bottle. In time, you can get used to all of that. But when the dead are very young, when you look down the beam of a police flashlight to see the death pallor spreading over cheeks that still wear a youthful fuzz, no, you never get used to that. They find him like this, Dave?
Just like this, Lieutenant. Bum came up the alley looking for a place to flop, I guess. Saw him there. Must have been right after the kid got it. Excuse me a minute, Lieutenant.
Right after the kid got it. Yes. The blood hadn't clotted yet. The large pool it made looked purple under my light. They bleed out fast when the throat is slashed.
Picture boys are here, Lieutenant.
In a minute, Dave.
Yeah.
Notice this arm?
No.
Right here. Look.
Yeah.
What would you give him? 17?
17, 18.
The peddlers start him young these days. Makes for more business later on.
17, 18.
Well, he got the man off his back. The hard way.
Anything on him?
Ah, see. I don't think so. No. Here's his wallet, though. Nobody cut his throat just for money.
Dough in it?
Couple of bucks. No social security. Here's his draft card. Hold the light a minute.
Oh, sure, Lieutenant.
Donald M. Shellbarger, 1264 Martin. Well, guess I better go talk to his family.
Yeah, nice job. Lieutenant?
Yeah?
How did he stand in the draft?
I didn't look. Yeah. 4F. ...1264 Martin was a tenement. No worse, no better than other tenements. It was after 1 a.m. when I got there. But you can usually find somebody up on a hot summer night. I found out that Don Shellbarger lived on the 3rd floor rear. No answer at the door, so I settled down to wait. I must have been tired.
Hey!
Hmm?
Take a load somewhere else to sleep it off, will you, Jack?
Oh. You live here?
If you can call it living.
Let's go inside.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Police.
Oh, copper. What is it now?
We better go inside.
All right. We'll go inside.
Where were you tonight, Miss Shellbarger?
Shellbarger? Please, I lost that years ago. Gloria Gay. You got a badge?
Yeah, here. Lieutenant Dana.
All right. I was working. I'm a dancer.
What, kind of a dancer.
Just the kind you think I am.
And where were you dancing tonight?
What's the charge?
Let it go for now. Let me see your arm, Gloria.
Hey, you got a thing for arms?
Nice smooth skin.
You could have just asked me.
I could have. Who's Donald Shellbarger, Gloria?
Miss Gay, and he's my brother. What's he done now?
Live here with you?
Off and on, yeah.
Mother and father dead?
I don't know. My father took a powder when Don was 4. My mother pulled out about 3 years later. I tried to take care of him since.
You did a great job.
City paying you a salary to mind my business?
How long has your brother been taking dope, Miss Gay?
That's a lie.
Sure. You don't know how long, or you don't want to say?
I didn't know. He hasn't been home much lately, but I didn't know.
All right. Miss Gay, your brother was murdered tonight.
No. You might have told me right off. You might have told me.
I'm sorry. I'm homicide detail, Miss Gay. My first responsibility is to catch murderers. Anything else has to come second.
18. 18 he was.
Know any reason for anyone killing him?
No. I guess even I didn't know him too well. I tried to raise him, but you know. No, you don't.
Anybody else live in this apartment, Miss Gay?
My husband, off and on.
Care to explain that?
There hasn't been anything between us for a long time, but I let him stay because he can't find another place. He's a... You wouldn't understand that either.
Got any idea where he is now?
There's a bar over on Elm. It's just called Ed's. Frank's kind of handyman there.
Frank? Okay.
Anything else?
That's, Don's picture?
Yeah.
Nothing else. I'll be in touch.
Sure.
And I'm sorry.
Just leave me, will you? Just leave me.
I left her. Standing alone in the tenement apartment with its water-stained ceiling and peeling walls. This was the home from which Donald M. Shellbarger, age 18, had tried to escape. Well, he finally made it. What catches most killers? Not big thinking. Routine. On my way to Ed's place, I stopped in headquarters to see how the routine was sifting out.
Got something on the Shellbarger boy, Lieutenant.
Yeah?
Been checking with Henderson and narcotics. They had a warrant out for the kid as a peddler. Been watching him to try to pin down his source.
Dave, where was Henderson tonight?
He didn't say, Lou.
Yeah. Well, there's the motive for us anyway. His supplier found out the kid was going to be picked up. He didn't want to be stooled on.
Oh, he sure didn't.
What's the record on the kid?
Not much. Arrest shoplifting 8 months ago, probation. Suspicion car theft 2 months later, insufficient evidence. And since then, nothing.
Not hard to figure, is it? Took a lot of loot to buy his, medicine. Around $20 a day. The kid made it by stealing for a while. And then somebody showed him how he could get his for free. He got it, all right.
Yeah. He notified his family? How'd they take it?
He's got a sister. Well, I got a call to make at a bar. Ed's on Elm. You know it?
No. Anything?
A brother-in-law of the kid's. From what I hear, he's nothing. ...2:30 when I hit Ed's place. A neighborhood bar, small and dirty. 2:30 a.m. was after closing. But in bars like Ed's, it makes little difference. They just serve it under the counter in coffee cups. In answer to my question, the bartender nodded me over to Frank. Frank. Shabby clothes, bloodshot eyes, and racing form. Frank?
Yeah, sit down.
Anything good running tomorrow?
Oh, tomorrow might be the day. Just might be the day. You know, I got a theory, you know. Every day, just $1 on a 3-horse ball. Long shots, you see. See, someday I got a hit. Big. Don't I? Huh? I mean, don't I?
Where were you tonight, Frank?
Where? Law?
Yeah.
Oh, right here, Captain. Right here all evening. Or in the back room, you know. Ask Mr. McPherson. He runs this place, see, and he'll tell you. He'll say, Frank was here. That's where Frank was. Frank was here.
McPherson's the owner?
Yeah, huh?
You married Frank?
Nothing's happened to Gloria.
No. Roll up your sleeve, Frank. Left sleeve.
Oh, sure. Sure, Captain, sure. There.
You only take yours in a glass, huh, Frank?
Beer. It's all I can afford, see? But look it now. It stands to reason. I'm going to hit it someday, now, don't it? Law of averages? Just 3 horses. That's not much to ask for, is it? And look it. Look at what I got picked out for tomorrow. See, right here. Now, look at
Frank.
This. What?
The kid, Don. Did you ever look at his arm?
Don? Oh, I know. No.
Come on. You knew.
Well, I got the word here and there, but I didn't say anything to Gloria, because he'll come around. Don'll snap out of it while he's...
Did you know how he got his money?
No, I didn't. Captain, now, look, I swear I didn't.
Talk, Frank.
No, please, look, I didn't. I'd tell you if I knew. Honest, I would. Look at Captain, he's almost like my own son. Oh, sure, he's had a little trouble, sure, but he'll snap right out of it any day now. He'll come
Frank.
Right...
The kid got it tonight.
Oh. Bad?
As bad as it can get.
Oh.
We found him in an alley with his throat cut.
Oh. I need a drink. I need a drink.
Frank stumbled his way over to the bar, and I let him go. In the back of the room was a swinging door. I went through it, took a few steps down a narrow hallway that reeked of stale beer, and turned the knob on a door lettered Office. Empty. Big surprise. But the odor of cigar smoke told me it hadn't been empty long, and in one wall was a peephole surveying the bar. I looked out. Frank was back at his table, hunched over his racing form. But he wasn't picking winners. He was crying. I took myself out of Ed's place, and Frank didn't look up as I got McPherson's address from the bartender. After persuasion. It was a good address, and his name wasn't Ed. It was Andy. He interested me. Just outside of the saloon, I got a break. Hey, you.
Hey!
My friend, Needle Nose. You're not happy to see me?
Take your hands off me, Dana. You got very heavy hands. I told you that before. Take them off.
You clean?
Yeah, sure, I'm clean, Dana. You got nothing on me. You know it.
Shut up. What were you doing in this neighborhood, Nose? Just passing by?
Matter of fact, I was just passing by. Not that it's any of your business, Dana, what I do or where I...
I don't like you. I don't like your face. I don't like that needle nose of yours.
Listen, Dana, you got no right every time you see me to start fighting.
Maybe if I keep it up long enough, you'll get out of town.
I got friends on newspapers, Dana. They'd be glad to hear how
you... Friends? You haven't even got acquaintances. What were you doing around here?
Now listen, Dana. Take your hands off me. I know my rights.
Talk! You're one of the miserable rats who make wrecks of these kids. Where do you get your stuff, Nose?
I got rights. All right, beat me up, hit me. You're a big man, sure, hit me. See what good it does you. Go on.
Okay. There are other ways, Needle Nose. Maybe you'll wish you had the slaps in the face.
What ways? I got friends, Dana. Maybe you ain't so big like you thought. Maybe you... Hey. What's the $10 for?
Alone. Maybe I'm sorry I hit you.
$10. Well, thanks. But I don't get it, Dana.
Nose. Don't you get the feeling that maybe somebody's watching us?
I do.
Well, what's that got to do?
How's it gonna look? Huh? I slap you around. We talk. I give you money. You took it. Gonna look like you're stooled, isn't it?
But I didn't. You know I didn't.
I know, sure. But how does it look?
Dana, you...
You're shaking, Nose. Know what you better do? You better start running fast.
But I... Yeah.
I step back into the shadows of a warehouse doorway to let Needle Nose get a good start and see who might start trailing him. It wasn't a smart move. I stepped into the wrong shadow. Something was dripping. Water? Blood? My blood? I didn't care. I wasn't curious at all. I had the idea something had happened to my head, but I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything up there at all. My eyes opened, and I was lying in an alley with a rusted-out drain pipe leaking alongside of me. But it just seemed exactly the right place to be. I wasn't gonna move. 4 o'clock. I wasn't interested. 4 o'clock. Headquarters wasn't far. And even though walking was pushing one leg in front of the other, it was good for me to walk. I could almost think by the time I hit the station.
Lou, what happened to you?
Games, Dave. Funny games.
Oh, here, son, sit down.
No time, Dave, no time. Get out on all points on Needle Nose Rackley. I want him found, and it's got to be quick. Get it on the air, Dave. And Dave...
You want him found, Lieutenant. It won't be hard.
You got him?
Yeah. On a slab in the morgue.
And I was just beginning to care about time again. Outside of Dave, I was the only other one in the room who did care.
Think they put him in lower, too. He's not pretty, Lieutenant.
Nah, he wasn't pretty alive. Roll him out, Dave.
Right. There he is. It's a funny thing, Lieutenant. He had to die before we found out his real name was Henry.
Henry Needlenose Rackley. For the second time in one night, I was looking down at a man with his throat cut. This time, I could feel responsible. If it wasn't for me, Needle Nose could have been still alive. Alive and ruining the lives of 18-year-old kids. I looked down. I didn't feel sorry at all. Put him back, Dave. Almost 5 in the morning, I got around to the address I'd gotten from the barkeep at Ed's place. Andy McPherson. He was beginning to interest me more and more. Somehow, I doubted that McPherson was a sound sleeper. One of my keys fit the lock. It usually does. I looked in all the rooms, found nothing, so I sat down. My head was coming around to the point where it was hurting pretty good, and the chair was too modern to be comfortable. McPherson had more money than taste. Then a key turned in the lock. Come in.
What?
A social call, Miss Gay.
I couldn't sleep. I had to talk to someone.
I got ears.
You're a cop.
Yeah. And my apartment doesn't look like this at all. There's a little hole in the wall with only 2 keys. I've got both of them.
Well, an early morning newscast.
Why did you come here, Miss Gay? My job is finding your brother's killer. You're either on one side or the other.
You don't think much of me.
Oh, we won't argue it. What's McPherson to you?
I've been going with him.
How's he get his money?
I never asked him. It was the same color as all other money.
That's pretty doubtful. Look, Miss Gay, I want you to go to the Windsor Hotel on Elm. Register there in your own name right now. I want to use you as bait. Will you do it?
It's for Don?
Yes.
All right.
Miss Gay, it's only fair to tell you that I tried this trick a few hours ago and got a man killed.
Oh?
Well?
You couldn't be that lucky twice.
A few milk wagon drivers and streetcar jockeys were on their way to work, and a few late drunks were on their way home. For the second time in one night, I headed for Ed's place, and it was still open. They must have thrown away the keys to that place the day they opened it. A track sweeper was having a belt at the bar before starting work, and there in the corner was Frank. Clothes a little shabbier, eyes a little more bloodshot. And racing form a little more dog-eared. Frank.
Hmm? Oh, the law. I...
Got those three horses picked out yet?
I don't know. No, for the first time in my life, I got the feeling that maybe today isn't the day. I don't know.
Frank.
Hmm?
About Gloria.
What about Gloria?
She took a hotel room, Frank.
Who?
I think she found out something about Don's killer and she's scared. Want to know where she is?
Well, sure, I want to. Maybe you better not tell me.
The Windsor Hotel.
No,
Frank.
Maybe you better. Windsor Hotel.
Be seeing you, Frank. I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, thanks very much, huh? Thanks very much.
I got out of Ed's place all right. My head was booming like a circus parade, but I was smart enough to stay out of the shadows. At the Windsor, the night clerk was asleep in his chair, the register in front of him. Gloria Gay was in 202, second floor. Huh. Anybody could have stolen the whole hotel, but who'd want it? Up the worn flight of stairs with the walls painted an institution brown, I knocked on 202.
Who is it?
Lou Dana.
I never thought I'd be glad to see you come in.
Jumpy? Huh. Sit down. I don't think we'll have long to wait.
What did you tell?
Frank.
You don't think Frank...
I don't think Frank can keep a secret very long.
Did you have to do it that way?
No, but that's the best way I could think of.
Do you chew gum all the time?
Yeah. Getting on your nerves?
You got on my nerves the first minute I saw you.
Uh-huh.
I've heard about you, Mr. Dana. You take chances. You don't wait for a killer to come out. You go in after him. What are you trying to prove all the time?
I don't like killers.
You married, Mr. Dana.
No?
No, you wouldn't be. You put on a little tin badge. You're the type that resigns from the human race. Do you wear it when you go to bed, Dana? What is it you don't like, Dana? Yourself!
Shut up. I heard something. Get in the bathroom, quick, and stay there. If anything happens to me, go out the window. I'll beat it. Hi.
Oh, I guess I made a mistake.
I guess you did. Come all the way in, McPherson. Let me get a good look at you.
Who are you?
You know who I am. Yeah. Big guy, aren't you? What'd you bring with you, knife or gun?
Come on in and close the door.
Sure, I'll close it.
Thanks. Been a busy evening for you, McPherson.
Take it easy, Dana.
Now he tells me. A little different this time. I'm not Needlenose, and I'm not an 18-year-old kid either. A little different.
All right, where is she?
You want to know? Here I am. Take a good look. I killed your brother, but we can still be friends, can't we?
I told you to stay out of this.
You'd have been smarter to listen to the copper, Gloria. And I brought along a gun this time, Dana.
I hope you got good teeth. You're gonna have to eat it. Get back where you were, Gloria.
All right, hold it, hold it. I'm just as good with a gun as a knife, Dana. Now that freeze, copper. I said...
Frank, watch out, Frank!
Hold on to it, McPherson. Hold on to it and get your arm broke. Oh, you didn't hold on to it. Take care of Frank, Gloria.
He's a bad Frank. We get a doctor for you. You'll be all right.
I didn't want... Didn't want to tell him, Gloria, but... He made me. He made me.
It's all right, Frank. It's all right.
He made me to... Gloria?
Yeah, Frank.
Just this once? I didn't do so bad. Did I?
Oh, you did great, Frankie. You did great. Frank. Frank.
3 in 1 evening, McPherson. You're a dandy fellow.
All right, take me in. But I'm not talking to you.
Not talking?
I got a lawyer.
A lawyer? McPherson, it cost the state about $40,000 to electrocute you. And I'm just itching to save him that dough. Come on. You got a knife. Make a move for it. Come on.
All right, let me alone, Dana. Let me alone.
Let him alone. Killed 3 people, and now he wants to be let alone. Come on, McPherson. You're a big fellow. 1 move.
No,
just that 1 eyelash. Come on.
Let me alone.
Take him in, Dana. He's all through.
Yeah. I guess he is. I guess he is.
I'll stay here with Frank.
6 o'clock. Frank was right. Today wasn't his day. What does a cop think about after a case? Right now, I was thinking about how a girl named Gloria might have looked before she'd been pushed around so hard and so long by the years since her father and mother walked out on her. And then I tried to think what Lou Dana was like as a kid so long ago. I couldn't remember. But I know what he is now. A cop who doesn't like killers.
You have just heard another in a series starring Dan Duryea as the man from Homicide, with Larry Dobkin as Dave. Mr. Duryea can be seen starring in Al Jennings of Oklahoma. In tonight's cast, you heard Gene Bates as Gloria, Bill Boucher as McPherson, and Joe Forte as Needlenose. Music was by Basil Adlam. The Man from Homicide is transcribed and written by Lou Vitties, directed by Dwight Houser. Be with us again next week, same time, over most of these same ABC stations to hear Dan Duryea as the Man from Homicide. Lou Cook speaking. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
That's Case Closed for this week. I'll be back next Wednesday with another one. Between now and then, you can find more old-time radio at relicradio.com, more from Case Closed, our horror show, science fiction, thrillers, all kinds of good stuff. It's all at the website, relicradio.com. There's also a donate button there if you'd like to help support all those shows. Thanks to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. I'll talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by InforRelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.